Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit, or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Have you heard? Metro by T-Mobile now includes Amazon Prime. Yes, enjoy the best of shopping and entertainment, movies, TV shows, music, free shipping, and much more. All included for just $40 per line for 3 lines. All on the T-Mobile network. Discover the smarter way. Metro by T-Mobile. That's genius.
One offer per account. Offer subject to change. $12.99 per month value. Offer valid for new Amazon Prime members. Metro customers may notice reduced speeds versus some T-Mobile customers. Video at 480p. Capable device required. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Welcome to the Managing Madrid podcast. This is your host, Kian Sobhani. In a moment, I'm going to be joined by John Dillon of Bavarian Football Works to help preview the Bayern Munich game. But just a quick housekeeping thing. A lot of patron questions are in. We're not going to answer them tonight because we're going to answer them tomorrow on a separate podcast. So basically, we're giving you guys a bonus episode. We're going to do Monday tonight and then one Wednesday for our patrons. So 3 episodes in 1 week for y'all because we love you. Okay, without further ado, this is your Managing Madrid podcast preview of the Champions League with John Dillon of Bavarian Football Works. Let's go. Hello and welcome to the Managing Madrid podcast. This is your host, Kian Sobhani, and we are joined on a Sunday to preview what is going to be a very much anticipated game against Bayern Munich, but not only anticipated and hype, but also surely going to be gut-wrenching, because it always is against Bayern. To help me break this down is John Dillon of Bavarian Football Works, Bayern Munich, our SB Nation's Bayern Munich website. John, how are you doing? And welcome back to the show.
Hi, Kian. Thanks. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back.
Almost a year ago to the day, we did this to set it up from last season. And it's still terrifying to play against you guys a year later. So congratulations on that.
Likewise, the feeling is mutual.
Quite a bit has changed since last season. So I think it was Tuesday or something. I don't remember when it was now. I wrote a column and it was kind of just previewing the game. And I actually went back and I watched the 2 legs from last year. And I was looking at all the cool things that, some of the things I missed, some of the things I relived and revisited. There's going to be a lot different from your perspective, just out of necessity, because you have a different coach. You probably have a better system. I think Hankis has gotten a lot more out of this team and the resources he has than Carlo did. But now you also have a bunch of injuries. So give us the update with all your injuries and what you think is, what are the dominoes of those injuries? Who's going to start? Who's going to slide in and all that?
Okay, sure. Yeah, injuries have not been very kind to us this season, although we've been able to fall back on some veterans who have been surprisingly healthy. I guess the point to begin with is Manuel Neuer. Manuel Neuer, as you remember, fractured his foot in the match against Real last year. Did rehab all through the summer.
Played. Wow, I didn't realize that was from that's stemming all the way back to the game against us, eh?
Wow. Yeah, all the way back. So he rehabbed. He came back. He played in just a handful of games at the very beginning of the season, and then refractured the same bone. So they've had to fit a metal plate in his foot. He's been doing his rehab. They're being twice as cautious, going very slowly. And there's been speculation that he might not even make it to the World Cup, although I think that Yogi Löw and the German Football Association want to make sure he comes.
As for Bayern, he's
out. So Madrid doesn't have to worry about him. Taking his place has been our second goalkeeper, Sven Ulreich, and he's arguably been the player of the season. He's stepped up. His first games under Carlo Ancelotti were horrifying. He lacked confidence, made a lot of mistakes, but really since Jupinkas took over, he's just transformed into a world-class keeper. It's been incredible. So Neuer is out, but our second keeper has been phenomenally good, surpassing all expectations. So that's one thing where Bayern are less concerned. Another major injury is Kingsley Coman. He is, I think, 21, 22. He didn't play very much under Ancelotti. Ancelotti consistently favored Ribéry. Under Heynckes, he became more or less the regular starter on the left wing. He's incredibly fast. His finishing has improved. His crosses have improved. But he injured his he seriously injured his knee, and he's been out pretty much the whole latter half of the season. He won't be back in time for the Real Madrid games, although he may be back by mid-March if we're still in the game by then. So that his injury is particularly problematic because of Bayern's I don't know if you call it a failure or a decision not to sign additional wingers. As you know, they let Douglas Costa go to Juventus Turin. He's turned around and been playing great for them.
He's been good.
But he's been really good. I wish they had kept him.
He was in the second leg in the Bernabeu against them. Every time he had the ball, he basically just carved through us. And he was just terrifying to play against. Yeah.
Yeah. He had a period of really bad form in Munich. I think things were difficult for him personally, and it just didn't gel. But when he was fresh, he's just amazing, and Bayern are missing that right now. They kept Coman, but Coman is injured, and that leaves us really literally with only Frank Ribery and Arjen Robben, both of whom are 34, 35.
I feel so bad for you, John, that you only have Robben and Ribery in your team. This is such a devastating news. I'm really sorry to hear this.
It's been up and down.
I mean, let's go back though. Wouldn't it have been a bit overkill if you kept everyone? Because you have Coman's a big loss, but
yeah.
To think of your insurance as Robin Ribery, I mean, Muller's not a traditional winger, but he'll kind of play on the right a bit, and he'll play that role. James not a traditional winger, but he can play there. One of his best seasons of his career was at Monaco on the right wing. So, like, if you had kept everybody, you may have had the same problem that we had with James last season.
Yeah.
Where he had too many bodies for too few positions.
Yeah. Well, the decision was to keep them on. They were playing. It was the impossible situation where they're aging, but they're obviously still playing well enough to make them desirable to keep. And of course, Bayern is famous for its loyalty. And with Frank Ribery and Arjen Robben, they are the veterans. They are, you know, in many ways the heart of the team for a long time now. So there are a lot of factors that went into that decision. Mm. So right now we're in the. It's Ribery is basically our default left wing, and I am 100% certain that unless he gets injured, he'll start. the right wing is where things get questionable. Robin has been in really bad form lately. He's lost a step. He hasn't, I don't know if he's done a classic Robin, you know, the cut inside and shoot into the corner. He tries and he ends up, you know, running into a defense and then has to pass on the ball. And that can cause, you know, confusion and chaos in its own way and is a valuable thing in itself, but it's not really what you want from your right winger. So Bayern, they may start him, and this is something that we're debating too over at Bavarian Football Works. Will Heynckes start Robin, or will he put Thomas Müller on the right wing, which I think is where Müller played when we won the Champions League against Borussia Dortmund as a right winger, also because of the different problems. And Müller plays on the right wing for the German national team, so he's not a traditional winger, but he can make goals happen from that position. We don't know though whether Heynckes will do that, and it also gets into James. So at Bayern, James has played a little bit on the left wing, but he's really shown through from a center attacking midfield position as a playmaker. Müller's the kind of attacking midfielder who likes to receive the ball and then take a crazy shot or get an assist. James is the distributor, and he's been phenomenal. His assists, his passing is just amazing. I really, personally, I would start James, put Müller on the wing, maybe have Robin come off the bench if we need him late in the match, and let Ribéry play on the left. But we just don't. Yeah.
Well, sorry to interject, but I mentioned this to you on Slack. We were talking about it, that it seems crazy to me that you, like, as a Real Madrid fan, you go into Bayern and a player that you're generally scared playing against, who is Arjen Robben, who's, for obvious reasons, historically, to me, he's one of the greatest players of our generation. And I think it's crazy that he may just come off the bench. And then you talked about his form this season. And then when I was going back and I checked and I watched the games from last season, I realized, which I didn't really fully realize at the time, I don't know, for whatever reason, maybe it was just because I'm just better at analyzing the game a year later or whatever, we completely took him out of the game over the course of two legs. And Zidane played narrow. And I think that the idea of playing narrow against Bayern Munich, against a team that is very good on the flanks, and again, it's unfortunate for you guys, you don't have Coman this time, but for this particular game, because he's been good. But the kind of like the two things that Zidane did by playing narrow, one is he was able to force Lewandowski to just be isolated. So we stayed narrow, we put a body on him. He wasn't there in the first leg, he was there in the second leg, and he only had one header, and it wasn't even close. He was just there wasn't any space for him. And then Robin, he didn't have any space to cut in and shoot, and that's his famous, like, you know, his go-to. It's his sweet spot. He cuts in and he scores, and it's like the classic FIFA goal. And Zidane was able to kind of, he only had one or two shots in the second leg, and they were both blocked, and he just, and I was surprised about that when I went back and I watched it. So if you're asking me, now that I think about it from a Real Madrid perspective, I would probably rather have Robin in the lineup than face James, who brings a degree of decisiveness and unpredictability and versatility to your offense.
I agree. I like it when James plays with Müller, because both of them are X factors. They roam very freely under Jupp Heynckes, and I think that their respective qualities mesh really well. The other advantage is that with Thomas Müller running around, it's a lot harder to isolate Lewandowski. So you have to keep an eye on Müller at all times. If you don't, then a player like James, a player like Thiago, can lob a nice little pass in there to him, and yes, he turns it around for a shot or, you know, a key pass, and you can get burned that way. The other final injury, of course, is Vidal. And it's bitter for him in particular, because I think of all of our players who were eager to show up and get back at Real Madrid, it's through Vidal. who was also he was also upset when you guys beat Juventus Turin because
yeah,
that
he was not happy.
His former team, but it's not to be. He has had a they called it a loose body in his knee. He had a they had to do a kind of minimal intervention. A surgical intervention to remove it, but it had damaged some of his ligament. He is, he's done. They said right off the bat, he's done for the season. And Bayern usually try to be optimistic until the doctors, nail it down for sure. But yeah, they were very up.
Vidal is a big blow for obvious reasons. And like, especially under Heikes, because.
Yeah. They have a history together. They played together at Leverkusen. And Heynckes is one of those coaches who can really just tell Vidal how it is, and Vidal better damn well listen,
yeah.
Or he'll be benched. Heynckes really brought the best out of Vidal. He's been phenomenal all season. So with Vidal out, and you know, with our front line, you know, varying maybe James, maybe Robin in the midfield, I think it's going to be Javi Martinez as the. The central defensive midfielder, and probably Thiago Alcantara as a kind of number eight, even though that their numbers are opposite, actually. Thiago wears six and Javi has eight. But I'm thinking that that's probably what Heynckes will do. And his lineup has shifted from a kind of 4-1-4-1 with Javi as the center pivot. And on defense, sometimes Thiago may drop back, and so it takes on the shape of a 4-2-3-1, just depending on you know whether they're attacking or dropping back to defend. But that's my hunch is that's probably the lineup he'll roll out, and then the big X factor is whether he starts James Rodriguez or him Robin.
When I watch Vidal under Heynckes, the two things that I kind of liked, and I'm glad we're not facing him anymore, although Javi Martinez and Thiago are two great players, it's, I don't think it's a huge drop-off, but what Vidal brings to the table as a box-to-box player is hard to deal with, because in a game where there's so much emphasis from both teams on the flanks. Marcelo Carvajal, Kimmich has been fantastic this season.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Alaba in a second, but then you also have really good wingers. We have good wingers. And Vidal is very good at covering for the fullbacks if they go up, like whether it be Alaba or Kimmich, but particularly on the left flank.
Especially Alaba.
Yeah, especially Alaba. And then, so that helps you with some defensive security. And I think, but also like his darting runs into the box to meet headers or to join the attack are very difficult to deal with as well. And Javi Martinez is not that kind of dynamic player, but he's very sound and intelligent defensively to read the game. And Thiago is more of a, I guess, a technical player in terms of he'll control the tempo, but he doesn't bring that threat on set pieces the way Vidal does. So I think overall... Yeah. We're happy. I'm not happy that Vidal's injured, although some Madridistas will actually say that they are happy about his injury. But I wish him the best and I hope he recovers, but I'm glad not to face him for those reasons.
Yeah. I think Thiago will have to step up and play that defensive part. Javi played mostly as a center back until Heynckes sort of resuscitated his role as a defensive midfielder. He's played there all season ever since and been great. I'm not worried about him. To replace that kind of aggressive running, pressing, and then you know, defense that Vidal brings, Thiago can do it. It's interesting. He has, of course, the reputation as a you know fancy technician. But he has some solid defensive chops too. There are games where he'll just make 5-6 tackles, and it just kind of blows you away because you don't expect it from him. My hunch is that he'll be thrust into that role, especially with the need to cover Alaba or potentially Rafinha on the left flank. it comes down again to what the coach, what Heynckes decides to do with James, because if he doesn't start James, then it will be Thiago usually who would play that kind of distributing playmaking role rather than Müller.
Did you mention Alaba in your injury list or no?
I didn't get to him yet, but he's the latest one, and we're really broken up about this one.
Yeah. Is it for sure or is it doubtful?
It's not yet for sure. So Alaba has had sciatica for the last few weeks. He didn't play against Hanover over the weekend. Although Heynckes probably would have rested him anyway. The latest status was from Kicker Germany was that he had participated in practice. They're waiting to see whether that activity re-aggravates the symptoms. And if it does, if he's unable to recover, then he won't start.
I wanted to ask you some, we'll come back to the lineups and stuff. I'm curious to know, kind of just bounce around and talk about some other things. How long have you been a Bayern Munich fan for?
Me? Yeah. Since 2005.
2005, okay. Because I was curious to know what jarring memories or good memories you have of playing against us over the years. I've gone back and I wrote an article about this last year. And I went back and I revisited all of the games we played against each other since the turn of the century, and they're all just crazy. And so if you started watching in 2005, so you had the Van Bommel, the FU goal in the Bernabeu.
Yeah.
The second leg you had Roy Mackay scores in like 10 seconds or something because Roberto Carlos fell asleep.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2012 was the most heartbreaking moment of our lives. Like for me, top two, it was between this and Figo missed a big penalty against Juventus in 2001 or 2002, 2003. But this one I think was even more traumatizing because we had really felt like we were going to make it. And then Schweinsteiger scored the winning penalty.
Yeah.
And then we had a bit of revenge with Ramos's doubleheader in the Pep era.
Yeah, it's funny. I'd say the pendulum has really swung in favor of Madrid in the last few years, and that's weighing on the minds of a lot of our fans and commenters on our site. Even people look at your position in the league and think, okay, they've been kind of meh in the Liga. But then in the Champions League, it's all bets are off. And, obviously the way it went down against Juventus, it's like trying to stop a train. It almost feels like. I've been curious. I want to ask you a question if that's okay.
Yeah, please.
So how do you feel about your offense? Cause I was looking at your goal scorers, right? And I think Real have something like 25, 26 goals, but Ronaldo has scored 15 of them.
Yeah.
And that the next highest, I don't know if it was Benzema or Marcelo, but the next highest is 2.
Yeah. The Champions League numbers, I mean, Ronaldo dominates them. He also dominates the league numbers. Bale is second in the league. Yeah, he has a good record for the amount he plays. He scores a goal every 130 minutes, but hasn't been playing much and been out of position.
Yeah.
But what you're alluding to is that what the hell happens if Ronaldo doesn't show up? The answer is we're screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he is 99% of our offense, and we have good creators, elite creators. I mean, like Modric, Asensio, Isco. These guys are really at the top of the barrel in terms of creating key passes. Even Kroos from deep does a lot of amazing work to just get us in good positions. And
Kroos is a sniper.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. Yeah. And I think, we always have this question, what happens if Ronaldo doesn't show up, God forbid? where is the goal coming from, especially when Bale is not really playing or not playing in a position that suits him, because Benzema hasn't been scoring.
Do you think Bale will start, or do you think Benzema will start?
I understand women better than I understand Zidane, and I'll just say that. I don't, no one can predict what, we talked a bit about this off air, but he surprised us so many times in big games, and just when you think we know who he's going to start, he throws a curveball at you. In the Clasico, we started four central midfielders, put Kovacic to man Mark Messi. Against PSG, Bale sat on the bench. And so that was the first big game where we were like, oh, wow, Bale's healthy. You know, Bale is undroppable, and then he sits. And then he didn't play at all a second in the second leg, where we had Lucas Vazquez in a 4-4-2 with Asensio on the opposite flank. And then against Juve, in this, Bale started the second leg, and him and Casemiro both came off at halftime, if you remember. So then we're like, okay, well, we're all just like, by the way, the Casemiro Asensio sub was really good, just for tactical reasons. Bale, I thought, was harsh that he took him off, because I didn't think he was doing anything wrong in that game, and it was a like for like sub. But to answer your question, will Bale start? Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. I think I alluded to this off air. I think because Casemiro, Modric, and Kroos are all healthy, those three will probably start, which means you can't really do a 4-4-2 in that situation. Go 4-3-3 or a diamond, which is more likely under Zidane, which probably just means Isco and Benz. But you never know. I don't know, because Benz hasn't been a sure thing either, because he didn't start against Juve either, and that was the other one. And so that's another one we don't know. It could be Bale or Benz. Was that helpful at all? Probably not.
Well, no. I mean, it's good to get the context in the background.
Yeah.
I mean, Bayern's primary goal scorer is still Lewandowski, but we're much more balanced in terms of sharing the load. You know, Miller has a few goals, James, and so on. It's, you know, it's not all just one guy. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. We often talk about Zidane and like all of his options, but Heynckes has a lot of options too, and I think his versatility, it'll be really interesting to see what he goes with, because I'm sure he'll have a lot of breakdown of Real Madrid and how they play this season. The film from last season will be interesting for him to watch. I think it'll be a really tightly contested game, and I really would be so surprised if it's a blowout either way. Those are my feelings.
I feel exactly the same way. I mean, we're all anxious. You know, Real Madrid really brings it for the Champions League. We want to beat you guys and do it the right way. And it's hard to overcome the different injuries that we've suffered, but our squad is really deep. And a lot of people just have confidence that Heynckes will field whatever the best lineup that we have. So it'll be interesting for sure.
I'd be surprised if James doesn't start, and the only reason I say that is because if Heynckes just takes a look at the track record of Real Madrid loanees, and it's not a huge sample size, by the way, I mean, there's two jarring ones. One was Morientes, the other one was Morata, knocking us out of the Champions League. That's on my radar, but not, that's kind of like a superstitious reason. But the other reason is because James has, in his limited time, I think he's what started, or he's only played 17 games in the Bundesliga, but all of them he's been efficient, and he leads the team. I think he possibly even leads the league. I have checked the stats. He leads the league in key passes, 2.6 key passes per game. And that's just constant curation in limited minutes. Like, he just, 6 goals, 10 assists, only 4 starts.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's a no-brainer for me. Maybe he's not for Heynckes, but he should be, I think. But who am I? I don't know.
I think, this is the big debate over at Bavarian Football Works. I think our commenters are almost universally in favor of starting James.
Yeah.
some of us on the staff are a little bit skeptical. Maybe he'll start Robin. Maybe we should to try to exploit the width. And you know, Robin hasn't been in great form, but he could still cause some havoc. But personally, I think Hamed should start. I just roll with it. And Hamed, you know, there was even a report the other day. The team had the day off, and he came back to the training complex to put in an extra shift just because he wants to be ready. So if Hamed has his way, he absolutely wants to start against Real Madrid. I think he has a lot to prove, and it would have a kind of poetic symmetry if he came up and put in a big game against Madrid.
I'll put it this way. I think Zidane will have more answers for Robin than he will have answers for Hamed, I think.
Yeah,
I want to go back really quickly and just tell you some more jarring moments I've had against Bayern before 2005.
Okay.
in 2000, I started watching around 98, but 2000 was the first year we really were able to watch games on TV, and that was the year where we came fifth in La Liga. And actually won the Champions League by some miracle. And we played you in the semifinals. And Nicolas Anelka, who had done nothing his entire season that season, showed up and scored two goals against you over two legs. And then 2004, that was probably just right before you started watching, was Zidane did this karate kick goal and in the second leg. Did you see that?
I think I've seen it on replays, yeah.
Yeah, and then Better we... Had,
a literal karate kick for him.
So that was the winning goal, and then we advanced, and that was also a very heated game because Raul and Guti got in a very heated exchange with Sami Kufor and someone else, I can't remember who it was. In also 2004, the first leg, Roberto Carlos scored that free kick. And it just goes under Oliver Kahn's hands. Like, it's one he should have had.
Yeah.
And he was talking a lot of shit before the game. So we were all... So that Roberto Carlos really, like, really celebrated that goal. but the most jarring one I've had in a while, like, was in 2001. The year after we knocked you out. You got revenge on us. And it was a massive blunder for Iker Casillas, who Giovanni Elber, he shoots from 30 yards, and it was a decent shot, but completely savable, and Casillas just lets it go underneath him. Yeah, and that was one of the moments that really ruined my childhood, so just wanted to let you know that. So and none of these have been blowouts, none of them. They're just tightly contested, really heated. And I guess it's kind of a shame for a neutral that Vidal isn't there to kind of make it ignite it a bit more.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's such a fiery presence. It's funny, in terms of jarring memories, the one that really still bothers me is the Pep Guardiola massacre and the four goals. I remember watching that, and the whole system just seemed to collapse, and this goal after goal, and It was really, really stunning. He said apparently afterwards that the players had wanted to play a certain way, and so he gave in to them, which I find kind of crazy, but that's what they say. And it obviously didn't work. But that was sort of the beginning of the latest chapter where Real has been so successful against Bayern. But we're hoping to turn that around. So.
Alaba can't go. Will it be Rafinha? It won't be Bernat, will it? It will be Rafinha.
I don't think so. I don't think it will be Bernat. It's funny. Bernat played at left wing against Hanover on Saturday and was the man of the match. He was outstanding. But at left back, he's been terrible this season. We just don't know what's going on with him. He's a good player, and he has his limitations. At left back this season, though, he's really been very inconsistent and has just given up stupid goals. Rafinha, so another veteran, he's been on the team almost as long as Reaver Ian Robin, I think. He's been wonderful. I forgot, but he had come in as a left back a long time ago, and then for years he was Philipp Lahm's backup at right back, and now, you know, de facto he's also Kimmich's backup. With Bernat being injured and being in such horrible form, though, Rafinha has put in several shifts at left back, and really, he's been great. He's not as big an offensive threat as David Alaba, but in some ways he may be defensively more sound. So there's a bit of a trade-off there. If he's combining with Ribéry, then it becomes a bit of a problem because they just don't have quite the same chemistry. I mean, David Alaba and Ribéry are like brothers. Like they are really tight. So if Alaba isn't fit to play, then you know, Ribéry may give us a slight defensive edge over Alaba, who's so aggressive sometimes he has a tendency to get caught out. I mean, my impression is that you guys think similarly of Marcelo. Is that fair?
I mentioned this in the Q&A I did with your site, that Marcelo is one of the greatest offensive fullbacks ever. Like, what he brings to the table offensively is almost like unparalleled from that position, because he's basically just an extra source of curation for us and ingenuity. But we all fully accept that defensively he's just naive and not good, and that's kind of okay. Like, we've accepted that because we realize his offense trumps his defense. However, Zidane has yet to figure out a way to kind of mask it consistently, and that part worries me. It's been a bit better in big games, where Ramos and Varane usually turn up a gear, and Ramos does a lot of great work to help Marcelo like double up on the flanks, and also like Asensio, when he came on against Juventus at halftime for Casemiro, when we kind of stretched the field, Asensio helped a lot from, you know, covering for Marcelo. So it really depends what Zidane does. And I think, I guess the tradition is with us that in smaller games in La Liga where we just somehow get blown away and we don't do anything right, Marcelo gets caught out a lot. In bigger games, that seems to be rectified. I don't know if it's just we're taking it more seriously. Maybe it's also because bigger teams in bigger games actually try to go at us a bit, and smaller La Liga teams go in a deep block and counterattack, so it's harder for us. So in a weird way, it's kind of easier for us to play in a more open game against Bayern than you know, someone in La Liga who will just bunker up.
It's funny. It's very similar to how it happens in the Bundesliga against certain teams that really fall back and park the bus. Some people say that Joshua Kimmich's defense is also, you know, not quite up to the same level as his offensive contributions. His ability to provide assists has been really amazing. He'll run all the way up to the other goal line and fire in an assist, overlapping Robin or Miller, if Miller's on the right wing. But again, Kimmich sometimes will be a little too slow to drop back and can get, that can cause problems too. So I'm sure with Ronaldo being primarily more on the left, that may be a weakness that Zidane might try to exploit.
No doubt. I think it'll be interesting to see, I guess, how he, like, I think with Kimmich, he's quick, so he can get back quickly. Mm-hmm. And I suppose, I guess, the test for him, as is always with any right back defending Real Madrid, is how do you deal with the overloads from Marcelo? I agree, Kimmich is like, he's not like the perfectly positioned defensive player, but he's quick. And I think because he can push up, it'll be just interesting to see how either team reacts to each other in that situation, because they're both very good offensively and they're both defensively, they're a bit suspect. It'll be interesting to see how that works out. Before I let you go, can you give me a prediction?
Oh boy. Let's see. How can I make your fans really mad? Well, it's at the Allianz, and form has been really good. I'll say Bayern have a good defensive day and make it 2-0.
2-0 for Bayern. Okay. Maybe we'll save your second leg prediction. I'm putting you on the spot, but we should do a podcast after the second leg. Right before the second leg, to preview the second leg, and we'll get your thoughts. Yeah.
Sounds great.
John Dillon, I was really hoping you wouldn't ask me. I'm just gonna say, a narrow victory for us.
Narrow victory.
Yeah.
Okay.
With the caveat that I would not be surprised in the least if it's a draw or a loss either. That's how I'm so on the fence on this one. It's such a 50-50. Well, what do you want? Okay, if you want me to give you a good, solid prediction, just to give you something, I'm gonna go crazy. I'm gonna go 3-2 for us.
3-2. That would be an entertaining match. If the score was reversed.
Where can people find your work, my friend?
I'm at BavarianFootballWorks.com, and that's where we live. So.
A lot of great pregame content, by the way. I was on there before recording, and you guys put out a ton of pregame stuff already. So
yeah, it's mutual. You guys do a great job over there. I read your look into Zidane's tactics as well.
I also read yours. We used the same picture, but mine was a bit photoshopped.
Yeah, I saw that. I ran out of time. But yeah, respect to your artists. It was nice.
Always a pleasure. I guess hopefully we'll connect again. I'm sure we will, like, offline, but also let's try to do this again for the second leg. And good luck. Thanks, John.
Definitely. Good luck, and I hope it's a wonderful game.
Have you heard? Metro by T-Mobile now includes Amazon Prime. Yes, enjoy the best of shopping and entertainment, movies, TV shows, music, free shipping, and much more. All included for just $40 per line for 3 lines. All on the T-Mobile network. Discover the smarter way. Metro by T-Mobile. That's genius. One offer per account. Offer subject to change. $12.99 per month value. Offer valid for new Amazon Prime members. Metro customers may notice reduced speeds versus some T-Mobile customers. Video at 480p. Capable device required. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Sports Social Podcast Network.